I look at some parties that blew up and became worldwide parties,
yeah,
and the quality, of course, got a little bit dampened. I really enjoyed the quality of this party. So even for around Japan, we have our, it has to be like this.
Yeah.
No clubs, has to look like this.
And also, it's all about the people who come as well. Yeah. So if the people, like, the people that, the regular customers, like, if they're, if that kind of people don't even exist in these places that we go to, like, I don't know if it was would work. Like, you know.
We've kind of built this culture. Like, we didn't build a party. We built a culture around this event. So, I really wanted to go international and then, I mean, national, then international. But I think that's going to take another big effort because we have to build the culture around the event on a larger scale.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides the sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on, people that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Made in Japan podcast. I am your host, Meljo Catalan. And happy new year to you all. Thank you and welcome back on season two. I guess I can call this season two of my podcast with a batch full of new guests for this year. So if you've been listening, thank you for coming back. And if you are new, welcome. I had a wonderful winter break and it was great. Got refreshed, feeling energized. But to be honest, I'm just really fired up and stoked to get back into the grind of doing this podcast. So I want to, first off, thank you all who have listened in the previous episodes and, you know, hear the stories of really, really amazing guests. And I'm not... I don't want to overplay. A lot of people that I've met are just really awesome people that who are in here and making it in Japan. So let's get it with our new episode. Let's get ready to hanker down and just like strap in and get your party boots on because I'm going to be speaking to a dynamic duo, one Brooklyn Terry and one DJ Sarasa. They are the co-founders of a party event called Speakeasy TYO. It's a very, I would say fairly recent, but it's been growing. It's a party event that's been growing stronger and stronger. And actually, I just discovered them last year, I believe. Yeah. And so this first episode of, I guess I would say season two of my podcast would be about this Speakeasy TYO event. So I think they're doing something that is much needed and is finally kind of like a breath of fresh air of, how would I say, a party event for all, both foreigners and Japanese that are totally welcome to come in. You know, dance your face off and have a good time and be very, very welcome. And I've always loved talking to these type of people who want to start something, start a scene, start a community and want to make it grow. And so why not a better time to have the first episode of this year be the Speakeasy TYO crew. So without further ado, this is Brooklyn Terry and DJ Sarasa, and they're going to talk to you guys about how their party event came into fruition. And also a side note, I just wanted to warn you guys, we recorded this episode at DJ Sarasa's Mexican restaurant, and during that time the kitchen crew were actually prepping for dinner service, so you're going to hear a lot of blenders or pounding. And truly apologize for that, but that's okay. I think it doesn't really matter. It adds to what I like to call the authenticity of my podcast, which is just a friendly chat, no matter who, where we are, and who are we are with. So, yeah. Anyways, without further ado, this is Brooklyn Terry and DJ Sarasa of the party event Speakeasy TYO. And here we go.
Water.
No joke.
Yeah, for sure, water.
Really? Okay. No joke. Well, okay. I'm besides water,
I'm practical.
You have a limited supply of water.
Wine, red wine.
Red wine on the beach. Okay, yeah. Classy.
Well, if I'm stuck on a beach by myself and it's like going to be forever, it would have to be craft beer because I no longer care about my body. I don't mind getting fat.
And I was just immediately thinking about the beach and having a glass of margarita. Mm. But album choice.
Album of choice. Yeah. That's a hard question because I never have a favorite, you know?
It's
like I always I love to, as a DJ also, like I like to decide what to play according to the situation, you know, and where I'm at. Mm. So if I'm on an island, I don't know, something tropical. But I don't know if I'd want to hear that forever. Yeah. Like stuck on an island.
For me, it would be Stevie Wonder, Talking Book.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Stevie Wonder is really the soundtrack of the entire beginning of my life. And Talking Book reminds me of my family gatherings.
That's pretty
like
cool.
So on an island by yourself.
Thinking of my family.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Drinking beer.
Not caring about your body.
Exactly. Yeah. Gotta get fat, think about my family.
Actually,
kick it.
Speaking of Speedy Wonder, I had a long ass text chat like 2 days ago with some friends about your top 5 favorite singers of all time. And Stevie Wonder kept coming up with like a group of people. And I'm like, yeah, that's it.
He's a god.
Yeah. I would say Stevie Wonder, Whitney, Whitney Houston. I don't know. It's pretty tough though. It's pretty tough.
I actually really love Ariana Grande.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, surprisingly. And like, not like I play her so much, but like...
Jump out of the building.
I actually do love her voice and just, like, she's so good.
I
also love Mariah. Terry has to make that face though, like, every time I say that.
This is probably,
anything about Mariah, really.
I used to work with her. I worked with her for a very long time.
Okay.
So, Stevie Wonder, Donny Hathaway, yeah. Sade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sade
Aretha,
for sure.
And
no doubt.
The fifth one is kind of... In no particular
it's
order.
No particular order.
No particular
right,
order.
Right.
The
no
fifth one is kind of hard. The fifth one is a little bit difficult for me. But... it might be Napalm. Napalm from what's the band? Hiatus Coyote.
Oh yeah. Nay.
That's pretty eclectic.
So good.
It's tough.
But I love their music. Of course, like her voice is amazing, but their music is just so like.
I met her in
amazing.
Melbourne, and I was like, look. Can I marry your voice? Like,
is that possible?
I just want to marry your voice. Just take your voice on. But yeah, they're no joke. And just the band, without her singing, is a beast. They have an open mic night in Melbourne that they do like every Wednesday night, and it's free, and it's just so dope. All they do is do like 45-minute sets, smoke weed, do another 45-minute set. It's awesome.
It's sick. Well, I guess this is the perfect place to start for you guys. Can you guys first introduce yourselves, and why am I here?
Well, since Terry had been talking, why don't you continue?
Okay. My name is Brooklyn Terry. From the name, you can kind of gather where I'm from. I am here, to be absolutely honest, only because I married a Japanese woman and it was a kind of sacrifice thing. Like, we wanted to have a family and do that thing. Mm. And I travel a lot for my job as a dancer.
Oh, you are a dancer.
I travel a lot, so it would have been really difficult to live in New York City, have a family, she would be alone. That's definitely not the good ingredients for a good marriage. Mm-hmm. So I decided to move here. Mm-hmm. It's been an adventure. I've been here, been coming to Japan since 1995-ish.
Yeah.
So I already knew Japan. Just
back and forth, thankfully. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's been an adventure.
Nice. And to the lovely lady next to you.
Hi, I'm DJ Sarasa. Yeah. I'm an international friend and a professional partier.
That's a pretty intense line of work.
And I am a restaurant owner of Casa de Sarasa, where you're sitting right here.
Yeah.
And I also am a head of Tacos Association of Japan. Yeah, so we're also a producer, co-founder of this party called Speakeasy, T-Y-O.
Mm. It's a cool name, too. I like it. I like the little callback to the 1930s, 20s time.
When I originally thought of the idea, okay, we should go through the how Speakeasy started.
Well, okay, well, is that going to be talked about later on? Yeah. Or, like, are we just doing our introductions first?
No, we can do it now.
You brought up Speakeasy. Well, let's talk about Speakeasy then. So, when I first moved to Japan, I moved here in 06, got homesick. I started a party called Culture in 07 or 08. That party blew up and then died because my partner in that party moved back and I started to travel more working.
Okay.
Like, I came back home from traveling all the time, got homesick again, and was throwing around the idea of a party called Speakeasy. And the name Speakeasy came because of speakeasies in the 1920s and 30s. And the speakeasies in Harlem, everybody was at the speakeasy. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. Inside the speakeasy, it didn't matter what color you were. Mm-hmm. You know, in Harlem, it was crazy.
Welcome, so
that was the kind of idea I wanted to go. Come, we have fun, and doesn't matter who you are, what walk of life you're from, come to the speakeasy, we have fun.
Okay.
Met Sarasa randomly at a party and said, hey, you want to do a party? And she said to me, I don't want to do no bullshit.
It can't be no bullshit.
And I think I said to her, well, I've been doing what I do for over 20 years, so I don't do bullshit. And
Sarasa, was this during that time? Was it 07?
No, that was actually
it was later.
5 years ago.
Oh, okay. So when you first met Terry, what did you think about his proposal?
Well, that wasn't when we first actually met, but for some reason I could never remember him. I met him so many times, but we never really had a conversation, that's why, you know, like, it's...
Did, like, your circle of friends always mix together?
Not really, but yes, you know, like, my New York friends, like, knew him, and we met, like, in the dark and stuff, so, like, you know, I would just, like, you know, with alcohol, maybe, so it's just...
In the dark, good sketched
story. The Roots were playing, and she was DJing for The Roots. And
The
Roots' manager's friend of mine.
Oh, really?
So I went to see The Roots, and she's playing, and I'm sitting next to the DJ booth, and she's like, hey, can you take a picture of me? And I'm just thinking, like, you don't even remember who I am. And
like, not at all.
How was that experience? The Roots played at my university when I was a young buck, like 20, this is like 2001, and like no one came. And this is Connecticut, this is like outside New York. And like they came for like a Wednesday night show, and they just put out, what's that album? Right after,
Illadelph Half-Life?
After Illadelph Half-Life, after Things Fall Apart. The album right after that, after Things Fall Apart.
I remember that.
It was around that time.
Okay.
And they were touring, and they just happened to come through my university, and like all my friends were like, the Roots are coming, and Rozell was there too with them. And I'm like, oh my god, this is insane. And there's like 50 people in the crowd, and it was kind of like a straight up home party, like basement party, and everyone was going nuts.
That probably was better than having 1,000 people there.
Yeah. So
that was the experience.
And now I just remember, that was after that, I was like, man, this is one of the greatest live hip-hop bands ever in my time. So it must have been amazing to witness them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually played for Questlove before.
Yeah.
Like I DJed before him. And then he went on and he tweeted that he didn't know what to play because I was just rocking like so hard.
Nice,
just
like, nice.
I wake up next morning and I saw like a lot of SoundCloud followers at the time. Like, what is this? And then I just found out like, you know, he had tweeted about me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys got together and so five years ago? Okay. So what was your intention? Was just straight up throw up a party?
We wanted to make a party where it felt like the States.
Okay.
And also with everybody like, you know, welcoming kind of like homie vibes and we wanted to have a structure where it wasn't like the DJs were only like the DJs were promoting, booking and doing everything. We wanted a real team to make a culture, you know?
Good. And
it should feel like, the idea of the party was to feel like home. Not my home, not everyone come and feel like home.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, the party was at night.
Yep.
And this is like the fourth stage of Speakeasy.
Mm-hmm.
And through every single phase of the party, it continues to feel like home.
Mm-hmm.
What, it doesn't matter where you're from.
What was home like for you? You know, what do you mean by home? Yeah.
Safe.
Okay.
Friendly. Easy to communicate.
Okay.
With people.
Okay.
Yeah.
There. I mean, I. It's been a while, but there has been a string of years in Tokyo when I was living and going to the nightlife scene,
mm-hmm.
where you'd be friends with DJs and be like, they would ask you like, dude, can you invite 10 more people to come with you? And I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I'm just like, wait a minute,
a
I thought we were
work.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
And then you get there like, dude, can you just pay like 5,000 yen?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. So I felt like there was this time, I don't know when that happened. It could have been after the Tohoku earthquake for me, where there's like a string of years where no one really wanted to set up a scene. No one wanted to set up a community. From what my circle of friends, from what I
think
saw.
That actually started around 2000.
Okay.
And it's not just here, that started everywhere in the world in about 2000.
Yeah.
In New York, I know by 98, all of the big clubs were dead because of politicians in New York.
Sure.
So by 98, New York, all the big clubs were dead. And that pushed the smaller places to need to have to ask the DJs to promote.
Okay.
And then the scene was changing, the record industry was changing, everything was changing, so every place kind of fell in line with, well, the DJs want to play, let's get them to promote.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always felt like that's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a DJ, I promoted parties, but as a DJ, it's not my job to promote. My job is to come and rock the crowd.
Yeah.
You know? So I kind of wanted to return to that, to be that again.
That says I have to reconsider our role plan that we just came up with the other day.
That's okay. But see, that's the thing. We produce our party.
Yeah,
that's
we
a
do.
Whole different thing.
How did you start at the beginning? What was the venue? Did you have a specific venue in mind?
Las Chicas.
Yes, it was like at a basement. A basement bar area of a restaurant.
Where is this Las Chicas?
Is
it in
Montesano?
It's
closed now.
Okay, it's closed now. It's right.
Yeah, it's closed.
It's closed now. And that was
five years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. We kept on getting noise complaints like every time.
Yeah. What was it every week? Once a month?
Or? Didn't we do it?
No, we did twice a month.
Yeah, twice
a
month.
Twice a month.
On a
Sunday.
Huh?
Friday or a Saturday?
It was a Friday.
Friday night?
Yeah, Friday nights.
Wow, okay.
Every other Friday. Wow, we were grinding.
Wow.
That's a grind.
Wow. So, okay, and through that, then you just used social media like Facebook or Twitter to promote?
At that time, yeah, we did use social media, but not nearly the way we use it now. Like, that's the social media queen right there.
Okay.
I'm not a millennial, so.
Oh, no, I'm not a millennial either.
You are a millennial.
No,
you're
I'm
the
not.
First
I'm not.
Dinner, how old
I'm
are you?
So not.
30.
Not telling you. Or on this channel, okay?
You're a millennial, though.
Yeah, sure. Let's just, yeah, leave it at that. Well, like, I'm a millennial.
I can tell you're very business-minded, Sarah, so I just seeing this, I can see what you're looking for as an entrepreneur, and then I can see you using your skills into creating this party event and then promoting it, which is good on you. That's awesome. But here's my thing. How did you, from the Las Chicas, how did you go to the Hotel Koi?
That's a long road.
It's just like, yeah. Just bad memories. It was tough.
For the listeners, what I'm talking about, there's a brand new hotel in Shibuya called Hotel Koi.
Hotel Koi.
And it was very, not so long ago when it opened, right?
Right.
And
about a year?
I remember when they were all doing all that construction near Parco, Shibuya Parco, and just all of a sudden that hotel popped up. But
So I actually don't think it's bad memories.
No, it was tough, man.
Growing pains.
Yeah.
Okay.
Growing pains. It was. What you go through.
No, like, you know, it was just. It was actually a nightmare. Don't you remember?
I do. But.
It was a nightmare.
It's like.
It's like, just imagine, like, you lock down all these, like, dates for the venues.
Sure.
But, like, we find out 2 days before that they had. The venue had taken. Another event over us, which we booked a year ago.
Yeah. A year in advance.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. Okay.
To another event.
Okay.
And we're just told after contacting them. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't even tell us. Yep. We found out by asking them, hello, like,
okay,
we're
by
gonna
the way.
Yeah.
What? Like 2 days beforehand.
Now having said that, here's a list of places that we were. So we, like we said, we did Las Chicas.
Yeah.
After Las Chicas, we did Tower Records
that's
Cafe.
Right. That's right. I remember
that.
And then we did the Tower Records restaurant in Ebisu, different Tower Records. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
after that, we went. We had our big party at.
There was Tower Records rooftop too.
Tower Records rooftop one time, and then they complained about the noise on the roof of Tower. So
what?
Sorry, Tower Records, you're gonna get mad at me. But the slogan of Tower Records: yeah. No music, no life.
No, exactly.
My slogan is Tower Records: no music.
No music.
Then we did a big event in Odaiba.
Okay.
And from Odaiba, we ended up kind of having a kind of home at. What used to be Commune 246.
I heard
it's Commune Second now.
Yep. And it's not there anymore?
I don't know.
It's
what's
kind
up
of sort
now.
Of weird.
Sort of, okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it was like that. I think it was around then it became a free party something.
It became a free party.
Around Tower Records?
Around
maybe?
Tower Records, yeah.
How much were you charging before that?
2,000 yen.
With like a drink or just an entry?
I don't remember.
With maybe a drink? One drink?
Yeah, okay. I'm sure it was one drink.
But those paid parties actually helped us to buy our own sound system.
Yeah.
That makes sense, okay. So.
Actually, we might make some money if we did charge. Now that, like, we had like 50 people or something.
Right.
Like every time.
Yeah.
When we started doing our parties and we're charging just 2,000 yen.
And how are you managing to find DJs? Did DJs came to you guys? Or?
It's both ways.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Networking.
And then, like, you know, sometimes we would find, hear about a DJ that will be around the time that we will do our event.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just book them on their Japan tour. Or, you know.
Everybody loves DJ Sarasa, so they want a DJ in her spot. Everybody loves Sarasa, they want a DJ
really?
In her spot. And then and she has lots of like older DJ friends, which is cool.
Cool, very cool.
Yeah, so we've had Psycho Les from the Beat Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
We had Maceo.
Mm-hmm. DJ Scratch.
DJ Scratch. We were about to
Spinner
play for us?
Yeah, you don't remember. And Vint?
Oh yeah. Spinner.
Wow. So within 5 years, all these amazing DJs came.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then we had Gons from France. We had
just Mark the Clive Lowe.
Mark the Clive Lowe, of course. Man, the list goes on.
That's amazing. And so that definitely gained
for
traction.
Free.
For free.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, millennial or non-millennial, that the free business model is nothing that should be associated with any generation. That always works. That's something.
It works, but it takes time to get there. You know.
And then I think, but I mean,
it's a lot of sacrifices.
I think about this recently because I've been interviewing a lot of people from in digital marketing, people in the PR agency world, and I'm noticing that what it is now is it's just you just gotta be really creative, be really passionate, find your niche, and grow that in terms of community, grow that community, and go make your money in the back end of the business,
like Facebook,
right? But
I think there's a lot of opportunities. Like it has been hard because it's free. But because I have stable work, Sarasa has stable work, that it's a little bit easier. We don't depend on it. But there's a lot of opportunities that opened up to us because we're free.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think a lot of the venues that we get, we wouldn't be able to get if we were a paid party.
So, Hotel Koi, how did that happen then?
One of the DJs that... that booked me in Osaka had some connection with the police. Yeah.
Okay. Because it's weird because there's a lot of bright lights, but then the design of the place makes it quite
sexy.
Yeah. I guess that's the word for it. Because I was noticing, I'm like, what's going on? Because you walk in, at first I thought it was just like an open space cantina or cafeteria with like a bakery and like some brew dog beer stall in the corner and like some furniture in the next to a stairwell.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on around here? This is not a hotel.
How does this work?
How is this working? And there's a lot of bright lights and I'm just like, okay. And then when the afternoon I moved out for that event, the last event you guys had, I noticed, okay, now I get it. This is a very, very architectural-minded design where it's really almost like Scandinavian, like Swedish or Denmark design, where it's all about grouping everybody into that center of the hall, even with the staircase. And I think that is a genius.
It also kind of feels like a Colosseum feeling because usually as a DJ, you're above the audience.
Yes.
But when you put people on the staircase, you're below the audience and everyone can share and everyone can be with you. If you're above the audience, you've just taken yourself out of the party in a lot of ways. But when you're down, you're deeper into the party even than the people on the staircase. So that I really
noticed when you guys were DJ for a bit, I noticed because the way the DJ places and it's on a slope, people walking by, passing by, like just walking in and peeking in, like what is going on?
Yeah.
It makes sense. I just think, like, I don't know. These are things I think about. anyways, moving on. You guys now have a community 5 years going, and you've been grinding hard. I want to know what's the next step for you guys. What do you guys want to do? Do you want to bring more different types of acts? Do you want to bring? I don't know. Branch out.
Well, our goal was to be, from like the beginning, one goal was to be the official, unofficial party of the Olympics.
Okay.
So that's where we're headed next, to be
working
on that, to be the official, unofficial party of the Olympics. And right now, you know, we have the database, we have the actual customers that walk in the door. Following rather instead of customer sounds kind of cold. It's looking pretty good, you know. After the Olympics are over, I think we're gonna have to sit down and like think, wow, where do we go from now, from here,
right?
You know,
straight up.
That is our, you know, that's been our 5-year goal
for the Olympics.
Yeah,
to come up. Wow. Okay.
And to be honest, I don't think even through all the hardship, through all the things that we went through, we still have never strayed from the path of our goal.
Well, so with that being said, that focusing on that path of goal, do you think, will it ever evolve into, you know, what you have going on is an event, party event, and do you think, will it ever evolve into a bigger scene? And what I mean a bigger scene is like branching out outside of Tokyo, speakeasy Osaka, speakeasy Fukuoka, speakeasy, you know. What do you think?
Of course.
Yeah. I love that determination.
I would love to also even take it outside of Japan as well.
Okay. My only worry is quality control. I look at some parties that blew up and became worldwide parties, and the quality, of course, got a little bit dampened. I really enjoyed the quality of this party, so even for around Japan, we have our. It has to be like this.
Yeah.
No clubs. It has to look like this.
And also, it's all about the people who come as well. So if the people like the people that the regular customers. Like if that kind of people don't even exist in these places that we go to, like I don't know if it would work. Like, you know.
We've kind of built this culture. Like we didn't build a party, we built a culture around this event. So I really wanted to go national, then international. But I think that's gonna take another big effort because we have to build the culture around the event on a larger scale.
Are you guys ever worried about losing control?
Yes. Absolutely.
What do you mean? Like, how would we lose control? We're the ones who do it.
When it gets if you get to that moment of stage of success where there's a lot of people to manage, and it's been a lot of the scale gets bigger and bigger, where you just cannot manage
like Ultra
by yourself.
The people that started Ultra, I'm sure they're not like.
I mean, Ultra is a big event to begin with.
It wasn't. Not like that. It started in Miami as a smaller event that branched off of another event. But there's another event called the Jistibu. It's a big dance battle. And Jistibu is the largest battle on the planet now, next to BC1. So those are the two. And the guy who started Jistibu, we had a conversation. He was just like, to be honest, it's all out of my control. The snowball too big. Like, you know, I'm here, my name is on it, of course it's my event. But that's what I'm a little bit like, when there's like maybe 3 million people, like that, it becomes a little bit difficult to control.
Speakeasy 3-day festival. Everyone's camping.
I wouldn't make it city exclusive.
You know, camping in Shibuya.
Yeah. We're just right in the thin line of being it being a hobby and professional. Our team, we're just actually speaking about we might have to step it up. We kind of have to, you know, really feel responsible from now on, because people really do depend on us and the numbers are growing.
You're a part of the question of losing control, because like you guys are such passionate people, I can just tell right now. You have your you have your restaurant, and are you a dance instructor as well?
I travel the world teaching people how to dance and judging battles.
Because I was curious about, like, I wonder if that part, like, would it ever slide or shift away from your other interests, and you had to like put more time and more energy into speakeasy? What would happen if that ever comes to that?
It has.
Were you recently?
All the time.
Okay, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Like, so the summer is my heaviest schedule, but I always make my schedule, especially last summer, I made my schedule that I would be in Japan for the week of speakeasy every time. And when it gets like that, that means you're already building your life around this thing. Your other thing, the thing that mainly brings your food to the table, you have to make adjustments for this. And, you know, to be honest, it's not that bad, I think.
Okay.
So put it like this. We have this thing where, like, before parties, we used to be like, oh, my God, this is killing me. And then we get to the party, we're in the party, we're like, this is amazing. This is the best shit in the world.
Yeah, it's like, we're like.
But I love that, yeah.
We're never going to do this again. And then, like, after the party, we provided so much joy to people. And,
isn't that what's great?
I've had people come to me and say, I wait every month just for this.
That's awesome.
And
a good thing.
That kind of keeps you motivated, you know? It keeps you motivated.
I guess I have two more questions for you guys. Second to last one. You know, you're growing and you're bringing this event to a lot of newcomers that are coming into Japan. What can you say? I mean, I don't want to say any.
Man, just say it, man.
Okay. I guess, yeah, if you had a chance to give advice for people who are coming and wanting to live in Tokyo, or from overseas, any advice, any comments for that?
It's good. It's a good question. Yeah. She's Japanese. I'm not. Two totally different points.
I know, that's what perfect. I like.
Well, I think, first of all, you should do what you want to do, in general. So if you want to come to Japan, give it a try. And I think you need to, with anything that, you know, you want to do, you have to be specific on what will get you there. So what I do is I just take notes and, like, you know, I actually cross them out as I do it, you know. That's it.
Okay.
It was a very general answer, but yeah, not specifically for people. I feel like it wasn't specifically for people that want to come to Japan, but it's just like a general thing that, you know, that people should do if they want to do something.
If someone wants to start their own party, how would you warn them?
I wouldn't warn them exactly.
From what you've learned.
I would just say that it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not a warning, just because, like, even my response to your question was, a lot of people come and they see the romantic Japan.
Yes.
Super fantastic romantic Japan. And they get away, they can't quite see the reality of what Japan, especially Tokyo, is. Mm-hmm. Tokyo is a huge metropolis with a lot of people, with a lot of dreams, and everyone's fighting to get there to their dreams. So if you don't come with that exact state of mind, you are going to get squashed.
Mm. I don't think squashed is... I don't know if Japanese people squash you, though. Like, it's more New York kind of, like... mind.
That leads to my second thing. As a foreigner, foreigners have a very different outlook of what happens here than people born and raised in Japan. And I'm going to be more specific. As a foreigner of color, it gets even deeper. So you can get squashed. You can get your heart broken. You can have these big dreams and big ideas, and you can come, and language can get in your way, just as a foreigner in general. And then maybe your particular style might get in your way as a foreigner in general, not understanding and knowing the cultural nuances can get in your way. And they're not gonna squash you like smash, but they will squash you in a very Japanese, polite way. However you get squashed, you're still squashed.
Yeah. I agree with both of you, actually. You mentioned about New York. That just reminded me about New Yorkers squashing the competition. It's true. It's rough in New York, but I think the type of squashing here is a little bit different.
Nuanced.
I think
it
depends on the industry, but it's about there's a lot of I would go with passive aggressiveness. What you just talked about. There's a lot of, like, okay, I know you're doing your own thing, but who do you really know, or who? What can you do for me, kind of thing.
But, like, isn't that with anywhere in the world?
A lot of places can be just, you just give a lot of money, and you just, you know, money talks, and you just go on, move on. Or you just have a lot of strong connections. But in Tokyo's can be rough, where I think it goes down with, I'm not going to explain the history of Japan, but I think part of it goes down with in my opinion, most of Japanese people, if they cannot sense that you are committed or highly passionate in what you're really doing, people will forget about you. And that's a squashing. That's a kind of a squashing.
Maybe that's a Tokyo thing.
It could be a Tokyo thing.
It's a metropolis.
Very metropolis thing. And that can squash you. And not just for foreigners, but for people from the countryside coming into Tokyo.
I think a difference between New York and Tokyo is in New York, In Japan, in Tokyo especially, but in Japan, yes means maybe. Maybe means no. No one will ever tell you no. And in New York, it's get the fuck out of here, son.
We just talk straight.
Fuck out of here, son. You doing that shit. You know, that's the difference. Yeah. And as a foreigner, that those three things, yes means maybe, maybe means no, no one would ever tell you no, and yet the actual yeses can be very unclear as well. And that gets very foggy as a foreigner. I have a wife that helped to guide me through a lot of that stuff. But if you're coming with just nobody, with just that dream, I'm going to come, I'm going to teach English until I get my chance to do what I have to do, mm-hmm. It gets a little tough. Just that foggy little thing. I mean, I wish somebody would be like, yo, get the fuck out of here, son. I ain't doing that. I want that so I know where I stand.
Yeah. I think a good advice, you guys said your both opinions. I think the best advice is just take the little bits of your opinions. And then for the listeners who want to come and...
Whatever you want to believe.
Take what you got.
Yo, okay, so you know why we work? Because we go at each other.
Yeah.
Which is, there's a lot of partnerships that don't go at each other. They just kind of do lukewarm
shit. I agree.
Right?
I think
that's why. You can't be lukewarm. Yeah. It's like, you have to go at each other sometimes. Mm. And it's cool because you go at each other and you reach this point and then you go to your goal. And seriously, we go at each other and...
I agree.
We don't, there's no hate, there's no anything. We're just trying to get, it's called communication. You get to this point and you go towards your goal.
I just think you guys have a great balance, you have a great chemistry. I can just completely tell by your personalities.
I'm the talkative one, and she just said, what the fuck?
She's like, stop talking, Terry.
No, I wanted to show you this.
Good cop, bad cop.
I just wanted to show you this image that I can't find on my phone. Sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
But anyways, I want to say thank you guys for having me. And,
thank you so much.
I think you guys are doing something really worthwhile to talk about and thank spread. You. Like, you don't need my podcast to spread your voice. I think you guys know what's going on.
You would be surprised.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to provide a voice of, in a different medium.
You would be surprised.
Thanks.
But, yeah, I guess let's end it off with anything coming up in the near future.
Next speakeasy is
February 2nd.
Okay.
February 2nd. We don't know who our guests are yet.
That's fine.
Which is normal.
As normal.
It's going to be at Koei. Okay.
We don't know yet. We're going to talk to them today.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is also normal.
Which is also normal. We don't know where we have it.
Okay.
So we're the homeless party.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been the homeless party.
Yes. Oh my gosh, we have to make that t-shirt. Homeless since.
Speakeasy. Homeless since 2014.
Yeah. No, we were going to make a t-shirt.
That's right. That's a good one. Speakeasy TYO. Homeless since 2014.
Do you guys have any websites, Chip Club, or any of your handles?
Yeah. We have a RSVP website.
Okay.
Speakeasy TYO.
.splashthat.com. That's where you know where the next party is, and you can RSVP there. Okay. Sign up for our mailing list.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, speakeasytyo.official.
On Instagram.
Okay.
And for the people who still use Facebook, speakeasytyo on Facebook.
Yeah, speakeasytyo.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Oh my God.
We had to make it like, you know.
Wait, it's like this. You snap.
Yeah, I do the snap, but I do the sparkle. Thank you, guys.
So that was Brooklyn Terry and DJ Sarasa of their Speakeasy TYO event. Now, if you're listening just in time before February 2020, you can check out their next event, which happens to be February 2. It's a Sunday. If you happen to be in Tokyo, I highly recommend, if you're quite interested about what they're all about, go check them out. February 2nd, that's a Sunday, and it will be at the Hotel Koei, and then it, you know, it starts from 4 p.m. and it goes up until 10 p.m. And the DJs, there are quite a few rad DJs are on this bill. Yeah, you got DJs L, DJ Mito Kon, DJ Kato, DJ Kotoko, DJ Soulman Kichi, and of course, headlining is DJ Sarasa. So yeah, it's their Speakeasy TYO Happy New Year 2020. It's free. Definitely come out and check it out. However, you must RSVP. So check out their website first, speakeasytyo.splashthat.com, and then register, and then I think you'll be good to go. And then, yeah, highly recommend it if you're going to be in Tokyo during that time. Pretty sure I'm going to be there and just popping my head in and then checking out. And I think, once again, they have their, you know, this is more of a personal thing, but I think they have their brew dog stand by the DJ booth. So I should be there. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there. Anyways, you're listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. My Gmail address is japanmademepodcast@gmail.com. You can find me at my Instagram handle, which is @MadeInJapanPodcast, and also my Facebook, you know, Made in Japan Podcast. So yeah, stay tuned for next month for another episode. And feel free to message or even just give me an email shout out. That's pretty cool too. And yeah, I'll talk to you all later. Peace out. Until next time.